Luke chapter 6. All right, Luke chapter 6, in the midst of it, is Luke is describing or sharing for us a record of a sermon, a message that Jesus is preaching to a great multitude of people. It begins, as you'll see in verse 20, where he says, "Blessed be you the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. All right, so we are in a series on giving, and this is it's been a blessing in my life as I rehearse what God has to say about this. Because I, like you, need to be practicing what God teaches on this subject. And I can't get over how what we learned from Acts chapter 20, blessed, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And how wonderful it is to be able to share with you that there is blessing in giving. I was challenged this week, because I will be frank with you, it is difficult to preach on this subject as a pastor who receives tithes and offerings as part of his salary, okay? Or as his salary, I should say, okay? And it's a difficult position to be in. And so sometimes you question whether you should even touch the subject. But that's based on a fear of man, and you realize that, and I realize that too. And I was encouraged this week when you preach these kinds of things, this is truth that the church needs, and you don't want to rob the opportunity for the church to experience the blessing of giving. And so some might not have ever heard of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Jesus is quoted as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so what a great blessing it is as a preacher to say, listen to this. Now believe God and his word and experience that great blessing of giving. As you see in this message, as Jesus begins, he begins with what has been commonly considered the Beatitudes. You most commonly see them in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. That's where you will see them in their form that is most recognizable. But Luke here is recording them for us as well. But I want you to notice in verse 23, where Luke records Jesus as saying, "Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Notice it speaks of reward that's great in heaven. Reward that is great in heaven. Now, Jesus is, of course, he's talking to a group of people that, and realizing that there's going to be some that will treat you with reproach and evil. And he is saying, you have a time where you can rejoice in that day, looking forward to a time of leaping for joy. Why? Because there is a reward. There is a reward that is out there. I know sometimes we look at this concept of reward in Christianity and we feel uncomfortable with it, right? We feel uncomfortable with, I should just live for Christ out of just a sheer desire of worship and just to serve him and not for reward. But listen, the Bible is very clear. There is reward for God's people and for the faithful. There's reward for our good works. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation, we know, is it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything there to be saved. It's God drawing you unto himself, and you are regenerated, and then there's repentance that flows as God does that mighty work in your life, his grace and his mercy. But the Lord does challenge his people who believe in him to live and to do good works, and there is great reward. If you are staying in the Gospel of Luke, just go over to chapter 12 now. As you think about this concept of reward, I, like you, can be bound up in the earth, can be bound up in the things that I see and touch, the things that matter in the here, in the now, and my relationships with people. I can be bound up on seeking to gain the rewards that are found here. The pleasures of people and a good reputation or that high salary or the good position or whatever it might be. But when you get to know Jesus and you hear what he is saying throughout the Gospels, you get to see that Jesus is pushing us to see beyond the here and the now to the forever, to eternal life. I have you go to Luke chapter 12 because I want you to see this phrase in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your mind rest on those words for a moment. Where your treasure is. Well, let's take that word treasure for a moment. When I say the word treasure, something inevitably, an image or something, will come to your mind. Probably, I know in my mind, I think of a treasure chest. You know, you think of the pirates, and they have these treasure chests that they will crack open, and these gold coins just come flowing out. You know, we see in the news there's treasure hunters around the world, and you just long to see what they might find. The concept of treasure tantalizes us as human beings, as people, because we think when we get the treasure that life problems and difficulties are solved and we're set to go, we're ready for the rest of life. And so we look for the treasure. Jesus, of course, knows how us as people think, and so he's using this kind of language to draw us in, to get our attention. And so he says, for where your treasure is, what does that make you think? It makes you think beyond treasure. It makes you think, well, where is my treasure? Which causes us to have this thought. Where could my treasure be? What are the options on the table? A treasure can be here and now, or a treasure can be eternal, in eternity. A treasure can be limited to the tangible, that which will be one day destroyed, or it'll be a treasure that is eternal, where nothing can make it decay or a thief cannot steal it. It is forever. So you have those two options now on the table. The tangible treasure that meets my needs here and now,
or the eternal treasure that is a part of eternal life, that is a part of being a part of the greater kingdom of God that lasts forever. So as Jesus is teaching here, for where your treasure is causes us as a listener and causes this crowd to contemplate the location of their treasure. And so we ought today to think about, what is the location of my treasure? In my life, what is my treasure? What am I treasuring? Where is that found? That's a sobering question, a sobering journey to go down. Because what it does is it illuminates where our what? Where our heart truly is. That's what Jesus is saying. And Jesus is talking to people just like you and I that live on this earth and are confronted with the evils and wickedness and with the lure of money and lusts and pleasures that this world offers. And so many go that way. So I wanted to ask you a question today. What's the location of your treasure? Where do you find it? Or let's say, where are you keeping it? Because I tell you, if you have a treasure, you keep it in a very special, special place. You know, I was just tempted to tell you where I keep my treasures, but then I think this is broadcast everywhere and everybody would find my treasure. Now, listen, you know, I do have some special things, right? Special treasures that I have in my life, and I do keep them in a very special place. One of these treasures is a journal. And this is a journal that my wife gave me on our wedding day. What is fascinating and why this is such a treasure in my life is because my wife began writing to her husband in this journal years before she knew who her husband would be. And what a treasure, as I get to now read the thoughts and the hearts of my wife years before I was ever even the picture. And by God's grace, she got to give that to me. And that's a treasure. It is meaningful. It is of great value. It's priceless. There is nothing like it in the world. Nothing. It's a treasure. And I keep that treasure in a special place. Why? Because, listen to this, because I want that treasure to last my lifetime. In fact, I want that treasure to last beyond my lifetime. I want that my children to be able to see and read that treasure, and the grandchildren, if God so kindly grants me grandchildren, and so on and so forth. That's a treasure. Now, am I wrong for having such a treasure? No, I'm not wrong for that. But you know what? When we think about our lives have a trajectory and have a direction. And that direction in our life, the way we live, what motivates us, is what we treasure. It's guided and directed by what we treasure, what's important and valuable to us in our life. And so the question the statement that Jesus brings out to us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to expand the context for you in this passage, just so you can hear what Jesus is saying. Looking at verse 29 of Luke 12, we read, "And seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of you of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather, he says, verse 31, seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down and meat, and will come forth and serve them. You see what Jesus is getting at? He wants his followers to get beyond the here and the now, the coins that rattle in their purse, and to consider the kingdom of God. Don't you notice that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? The kingdom. The Father, he's to give us his kingdom. Now, that's not to say that he will just turn it all over to us and we get to rule and reign. But no, we get to enter into his kingdom and to be a part of his kingdom where he rules and reigns, where there is righteousness and no sin. Get to be a part of his kingdom. That's the Father's good pleasure to give unto us. And so he says, you've got a treasure in the heavens. It does not fail. There's no thief approaches or moth corrupts. No thief can take this away. No moth can eat it up. It's a treasure in the heavens. So, where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. And so, what is Jesus going for here? He's going for the heart. In his heart, he desires our hearts to treasure him and his kingdom. God's truth, God's ways, things that matter to God, things that will last forever. And so what we need to do is we go through our hearts. And we think about, what do we treasure? And does it have eternal, lasting value? Or is it that of the earth, that a moth will eat it up? Or rust will cause it to decay? Or where a thief can come in and take it away? What is it that you're treasuring? Where is that? And that tells you a lot about your heart. And that's what Jesus is concerned about. What Jesus desires is your heart. Because as your heart is right before God, so your life will be right before God. And so these are great questions. And God's guidance us, guiding us by his grace so that we might be more like him. Aren't you excited that God shares these things with us? That he lets us in on this most beautiful treasure? Now, I trust you get excited about this and do the work of evaluating and hearing this simple but yet profound phrase, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, what a blessing it is to be together today. Thank you for teaching us, for laying this out before us, for reminding us of reward and treasure, the heart. God, I know you go with your people. God, I know that maybe there are some here today who have not yet trusted you as Savior. Lord, who this talk of the kingdom of heaven, this talk of salvation, of forgiveness of sins through the Jesus, through your blood, Jesus, this is new to them. Lord, my prayer is that today you would draw them unto yourself, that they might know salvation through your blood, Lord Jesus. Amen.